Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. I did it again. This is what happens when you take time off. You revert back to the original name of the podcast. And I'm still getting over this chronic bronchitis. It has been horrible. Horrible. Trying to get over this stuff. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I'm just sitting here trying to get back into the groove. My wife, after last week, she's quote unquote yelling. And when I say that, I'm joking. But she's like, I want to get back into recording with you and doing some stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. I want us to be able to do that. So here we are, new episode. And actually, I had to do this one without her because, we were coming up with some good subject matter to discuss with y'all. And, you know, I don't know where to put this, but if you follow, you know, if you know me on social media, you'll know that I am a part of a number of groups. And, there's one group that I am one of the administrators on, and then there's another group that I am close to, and another group. Well, anyway, I put this out there last week sometime, and this is what I wanted to discuss with you all, because there's no easy way to say this, but, you know, I think we as a culture have lost track of what we're supposed to do. You know, like, we come into our being of being ourselves, and we kind of take things too lightly. And what I mean by that is we're always hearing the stuff that we're supposed to do. We're always hearing the stuff that we should be doing. And I wonder how often we really take this at face value. And what I mean by this is a lot of us know that we are supposed to be keeping track of our credit history. Now, I'm in a situation where I'm paying back some credit cards that I had years ago when I got unemployed and they fell behind and ended up in creditor, and it's only a couple of them. So I'm doing that. I'm working on that sort of stuff and paying those off. But over the years, there has been some things. Now, as most of you know, I work as a pastor. I also work as a teacher. And somebody was telling me that I really should look into the whole what is it called? There is a, I'm trying to think of what to call it, but there is a debt relief program that, I guess I could say, and if you're hearing something in the background, just know I have our dog in my office with me recording this, and he's hearing kids. We have a homeschool group that meets at our church on Thursdays, and that's what they're doing. And so he's hearing the kids, and he wants to get out there and play, and just isn't going to happen right now. But let me just say this. So there was this thing people were saying you should look into it, you know, make your payments for 10 years, get the rest of the debt forgiven because you're in the public service field, and So I began to do that process. And to my shock, when I looked at this, because basically I would at least as far as I knew, I would pay off half my debt and have the other half forgiven. Well, what should my wandering eyes appear as we're in the Christmas season? But I get this thing sent to me saying, you are ineligible for this program because these two debts are in default in long-term collection. And I was like, okay, what is this? So I looked into it, and I don't want to get into deep. I don't want to get in too deep with this, but this is for those wondering, like, did you do something? No. What I can say is that these debts were taken out in years in which I was in the single digits of my age. So unless I was Doogie Howser, there was no way I was a child genius or Sheldon. I forget what that character is from Big Bang Theory. His name's Sheldon Cooper. you know, there's no way. There's no way this would happen. And so, yeah. So I sat there and I looked this up and I began to do some research. And lo and behold, there it was. And we have reason to believe that this has been a major cause of some of our grief over the, for my wife and I, because we have been trying to, you know, do what married couples do, live a life. And, come to find out that this is on there. And so, like, I was able to get a little more in depth with some friends in emails as I asked for prayer. And a lot of them are praying, but this really got me thinking, like, how much of us really pay attention to this stuff? Like, you know, we kind of laugh it off, you know, and the dangerous part, this is what somebody told me just today. You know, the dangerous part is we're in an age where, you know, if you have a cell phone, you're getting these calls. Now, granted, I will give the phone, you know, the phone companies and the phone manufacturers some credit here because if you're getting a call, you know, you usually get a call. In fact, I can look at my phone right now and I can see that already today, the last call I got was a scam likely call. And then I go down and Tuesday I had a scam likely, Monday I had a scam likely. So we get these calls that are scam likely calls and we're wondering, like, you know, do we call some of these calls? And we hear some of these calls when they leave messages on the phone. And of course, you know, the big joke is you have the warranty, like, you know, hey, your car's warranty is ready to expire, even though you got a 25-year-old car. It's about ready to expire, and we want to renew it for you. It's kind of like, but like as somebody said, today, they've been getting calls about student loans, and they started thinking to themselves, like, you know, with what's going on with me right now, like, could this be a similar situation? Could this be a similar situation to what I'm dealing with in this current situation? And I know that sounds weird. I know that sounds, you know, odd, but, you know, if that's the case, you know, how many times had I heard something that would make me kind of hear something and laugh it off? And that's what I think our biggest situation is right now in America, as the church. You know, we hear all these different things going on. We hear these things where people are saying that, you know, there's scams and don't listen to them. And everybody's listening to, you know, I won't say his name, but, you know, the big financial peace guy. And we sit there and we kind of just don't think about trying to react to what's going on. In fact, you know, for every reaction, there's an equal and opposite, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, as the old science says. And, you know, for that, I think that we have those things. Now, what really got me starting to question all this stuff was the fact that I had a friend who, how can I say, I had a friend who recently purchased a home, and he was telling me that, you know, they were making sure his credit and his wife's credit were all caught up. And so, to his surprise, they found a old bank account that was shared by him and his son way back in the day. And apparently somebody had hacked into the account and overdrawn it by some $800. And they were in the process of purchasing a house, and they needed this fixed yesterday. And so they ended up paying the money because they had the money at hand, but they were like, you know, we got to do something about it. And it really, like, as I was talking to him, it got him thinking about, you know, how often do we look? You know, we're told, check your credit report, like I said. And so, needless to say, I am, like I said, I don't know how much I can give away, but I am seeking legal help on this right now. And, you know, as I'm looking at the legal help, the big thing is they have me, pulling my three credit reports. So I'm looking at the three credit reports. As I'm looking at the three credit reports, I'm seeing a lot of stuff that I'm questioning on this. I'm also pulling out the whole thing of the money that I'm owed. Hey. There he is. He's letting you know he's here. But that's the thing. I'm pulling out this report, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is going on? So I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this report, and I'm like, this is kind of crazy. Like, there's stuff on there that I wouldn't have thought should be on there. There's stuff on there that, you know, is current and accurate. And there's stuff on there that I'm like, okay, you know, I've got questions on this. Like, why is this here? You know, this is confusing. And at the same time, I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, it also shows something that I didn't know. But of course, because one thing isn't, but there's stuff on the report that seems to be showing that with a little detective work, I should have been aware of it, but you would not be aware of it. I wouldn't have been aware of this unless I hadn't looked at my FAFSA. But of course, here's the interesting thing. Now, you're always renewing your FAFSA, and that was the thing. I never had seen this thing until a few months ago, that this record was on there. And so there it is. And so you might be saying, well, Don, why are you bringing this up? Why, you know, why are you so concerned? You know, are you concerned that we don't think you're telling the truth? Well, no, even though there is some people that I wonder, you know, if they'll believe me. But at the same time, my point is this, is if we as pastors are supposed to be above reproach, and then we have this stuff, you know, like, how many of us who are going for jobs, you know, like, think about this. This is where my mind started to float on this the last few days, is if we are to be going to, say you wanted to put in a job interview. Now, this I know because I have a question now. There were several jobs that I have put in, several jobs that would have had credit checks. And even though I know that this goes way beyond what they would be allowed to look at with major credit unions, whatever we call those three, the big three, the trinity of credit, you know, looking at my friend's situation and knowing that that goes beyond the 10 years that the credit agencies would carry something on there, it makes you wonder, you know, what else do they look at? And so, it, you know, a lot of churches these days, for the pastors that are out there that are looking to go into, you know, getting maybe their first senior pastorate, or maybe they feel God is calling them to move on from their current pastorate, and so they begin that, it makes you wonder, like, you know, what if I have something like that on? And that's been my thing, is like, I'm sitting there saying, man, maybe this is why I didn't get a couple of those before, or maybe, you know, even the secular jobs that I put in, maybe that's why. And so my plea to you is, check this out, check out what's going on with your credit, check if you have student loans, and just really, really check into, you know, stolen identity. Like, this is stolen identity. We know this has been a major thing for a long time. But here I am, 49 years old, and this is something that the last loan was taken out 40 years ago. And yeah, I'm sitting there scratching my head, and I just want to throw that out as a warning. You know, check it out. Check out your credit. Check out what's going on. I mean, yeah, just check it out. So that's the first part of this this episode. The other thing I wanted to throw out at you is, and this is late, I know a lot of people have been debating. We are T-minus a week and a half at the time of this recording away from Christmas. And I've really wondered, like, how many people are doing both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? Christmas Day, I know, is a Sunday. It seems like this has become, like, a hot-button issue this year. Like, I have never seen it really take off this bad in a long time. I mean, wow. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, people. Like, I'm seeing it where so many people right now, and this could be like the big debate. This could be the debate of the year. You know, I mean, if we go back to January, I think people were coming off of Christmas 2021 and knowing that 2022 was going to have Christmas on Sunday. And I don't think people were thinking about it as much as they have or should have been. But I'll tell you, like, I put a question weeks ago, maybe a month ago, on social media, asking people, like, well, what is your church going to do? And it's been interesting. I've been seeing where some people that had decided to do one are now doing both. Some people have decided to do away with Christmas Eve and they're just doing Christmas Day. I'm seeing a lot of people saying that they're just doing Christmas Eve and they're allowing families to be together on Christmas Day. And I'm seeing where this thing is just really turning into a still a debate. I will say this. I will give some credit here. I have not seen it turn into some really nasty, volatile argument. Like, I haven't seen it where it's like people are accusing others of being heretics or not Christian enough or anything like that. At least I haven't seen that yet. But it's really been an interesting thing. I saw one friend just post, and I'm not sure. I could swear myself, I might have misunderstood this, but I could have sworn that they weren't going to be open on Christmas Day. They were just going to do Christmas Eve. And then I've seen it where they're saying that they're going to show up at the church on Christmas Day, turn on the heat, make some coffee, and, you know, be there, and whoever shows up, shows up. That's great. I know for us, for our church, it's really working out pretty interesting, because we know we have church members who are not going to be here for Christmas Day because they have to travel. I know we have one couple that are grandparents that their kids are a little ways away. They live in the next state over, and they live at the far end of that state. So they're like, we're going to be traveling, so we're going to be here for Christmas Eve, and we won't be here Christmas Day. One family that said they were going to be here Christmas Day, now they're realizing that they have some family stuff that's going to keep them away, so they're hoping to be here for Christmas, or they will be here for Christmas Eve. We've actually bumped back our time, so we used to have Christmas Eve service about 6 o'clock, I think, here, and over the last couple of years, we kind of debated the time, and we bumped it back to 4 p.m., because it's dark enough at that time that if you're going to do a candlelight service, you're going to have, it's going to be dark enough to do a candlelight service. At the same time, you know, you look at what's going on, and yeah, it's just, I think it's just going to be one of those awesome things for our church this year, where we're looking at it and we're saying, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. I don't know who's going to be here Christmas Day. I really don't. I know I'm planning to have it. It's going to be sort of an abbreviated service. And what I mean by abbreviated is we're going to gather, we're going to sing songs, we're going to have a bit of announcements. And I'm going to do a sermon. I'm actually, next week, I'm planning to write two complete sermons. We have been doing Advent a little bit different this year. So what I've done, and I had to flip the numbers. Like I'm looking up at my original paper that is on my Magna board. And, I had Advent 2022 and I wanted each candle of the Advent wreath to represent an office of Jesus. Now we know that there are three offices that Jesus fulfilled or has: prophet, priest, and king. And my argument has been that he has been also the suffering servant and our Savior. He's Messiah. And we could include those as offices or include those as the full aspect, the bookends of the prophet, priest, and king. And that is going to be how we're doing it. So this week going in, I've got the suffering servant, and then on Christmas Day, or on Christmas Eve, I've been thinking of adding it so that we have son, or you know, because we're celebrating him being born. And so here he is, the Son of God, but he's also this son, this promised son of David, and different things. And then the Messiah, you know, here he is, he's Messiah, he's the fulfillment, he is the chosen one, you know. And anyway, that's what we've been doing. And I think it's gonna be really a good service for us, a good service for the people. So we're doing that for 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve and 10:30 our regular time on Christmas Day. And we'll see. Like, I'm not going to be deeply saddened if people don't show up. You know, I'm not going to be deeply saddened if, like, most of our people show up at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day ends up being, a couple of people and, maybe guests. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. You know, we've noticed stuff. We've been, like, talking with other pastors and noticing the need of revival to be in this area. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're not seeing as many people. So we've noticed that coming back from COVID, there are churches that have been able to get their footing back. Not all churches. Like, I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy and say, oh, this is going to be... It's some churches... and I think it's a mix. I think it's multiple things, but I've seen some churches where, they have just misstepped and are struggling. Other churches, I think they've had to re-examine how they are doing things at the biblical level. In other words, they're sitting there questioning their discipleship, questioning how things are going. In fact, I know for us, we have always struggled with small groups, and we're trying to really take that into the next level for 2023. Right now, we have a Sunday school group that meets, and I know that becomes, not popular, because for whatever purpose, we have deemed certain things to be outdated. But at the same time, I think we have to look. You know, it's always that old adage: what's new is, or what's old is new again. You know, I think of how bell bottoms have at least come back three times. You know, there was the initial bell bottom craze of the 60s, 70s, and then late 80s, early 90s, there was a bell bottom craze, and then I don't know, last 5-6 years, I think there was another bell bottom craze that came in. And even though they don't last long, it's still a fact that that becomes part of the fashion sense. And so we tend to, you know, I think we tend to try to be, within the church, we try to regulate things and put things so that we're saying, well, no, we'll never go back to that again. So it's off the table. But we have to sometimes examine things. And I think there is one popular podcaster out there who has talked about at length how his church is doing small groups in the Sunday school hours at their church, and it's a success. And I think we have to re-examine how we do that. And, you know, I would like to see it in our church where eventually we take some of the rooms downstairs and we make those into like mini living rooms, and we see these small groups kind of take off from there and really encourage people to eventually think about it. I know for us, we had one person recently leave our church because they were against that idea. They were like, I don't want to have anybody in my home. And you know, as sad as that is, as sad as, you know, you're sitting there going, huh? You know, there are people like that. There are people who aren't going to want to be going into homes. And so I think that if a church is big enough, you can have multiple services, multiple avenues. You know, I can see a church that's maybe, you know, up near 100 people being able to do a Zoom group study of, you know, several individuals and doing it that way and still having some success with it. But, you know, in our area, we've been noticing it where there is a lot of pushback on certain things. We're seeing, you know, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, but, you know, we're seeing a lot of things where in certain areas we're seeing really churches struggling because, you know, they want to get certain things off the ground that they know they should be getting off the ground, but for whatever reason, it's not working. It's not launching. You know, I don't know if that has to do with poor execution, poor development, poor design, whatever it is. I think that there's a lot of stuff that has to be kind of brought into the area from like a denominational or network sense to kind of examine the churches and work with the pastors and the leadership there and say what is working, what is not working, and go from there. So yeah, this has been a hodgepodge and mishmash of a podcast today. These things that have been on my mind. You know, I don't want you to think I got really, you know, I don't think I really got deeply personal on my stuff that's going on right now that I'm working on and trying to, excuse me, trying to have all figured out for my own personal life and goals, but it was more of me saying, hey, if this can happen to me, it can happen to you. And then just kind of springboarding off that on some other things that have been on my mind. And yeah, you know, it's like I really kind of wanted to take this last subject, and I'm probably going to rework this out into a fuller, more fleshed out podcast. But I really want to get back working with my wife on this podcast. There's some major announcements, I think, that we're going to have with very soon, with some people coming in. But other than that, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm not going to drone on. I know I've had that issue before, and I'm just going to say, God bless. We love you, and we'll see you next week.